Lord is calling you, don't be afraid. He will help and comfort, give you every day. Just stay here and I, Lord, send me. I want to do your will. Just stay here and I, Lord, send me. I want to serve the King.
Thank you, Brother Angel. I appreciate it. It is an honor to be here tonight, and I want to say thank you to the church for supporting us for those 16 years. I still remember when we came here as missionaries on deputation, of course, a little bit younger then, a little bit thinner too, but I appreciate you folks being behind us, supporting us, praying for us, and it gave me a vision as I was sitting out here and listening to the prayer letters being read and the stories being told of how you pray for missionaries, and I appreciate that, and I know every missionary who is being prayed for and being supported would say the same thing. And it is a blessing to know that there are people holding the ropes for us there in Ukraine. It is an honor to be a missionary. I believe with all my heart that the greatest thing or greatest privilege that a Christian can have is to be in the service of Jesus Christ, serving the Lord with your life and doing what God wants you to do. Some people say it's a sacrifice. I look at it as a privilege. I couldn't think of anything else to do. You know, if somebody is called by the president and wants to be the president wants them to be an ambassador to a country, they say it's an honor. But when God calls somebody to be a missionary, they say it's a sacrifice. I can't figure that out. I think it's an honor. I think it's a privilege to be a missionary. And so I'm glad that God has called me as a missionary. I would ask you to pray for our church. God has been good to us in the last few years. When we were here 3 years ago at the missions conference, we asked you to pray about our church getting a building. A meeting there in the village where God led us after we turned our first church over to a national pastor and went out and started this other work in the village. We began praying that God would give us a building. We moved 7 different times. Every time we would get settled into a building, the building that Brother Angel came to, we only lasted there for a few months, and then we had to move to another building. We were kind of like the children of Israel. Every time there was a cloud, we were moving, and I hated seeing any kind of clouds or any kind of overcast because I thought we're moving again. And then God allowed us to be able to purchase some land and then to build a building. And we got in that building a year ago and just really excited about what God's doing right there in that village and how God's blessing, having a permanent place. We met in a village hut that was on the property. That was an experience. I could tell you stories all night, just meeting in a hut that was built in 1945 for the year while we were constructing the building, and to see the people come in and get in this little hut and to meet in there, and we had it packed out, and it was hot in the summertime, and then to think, man, we're moving into that building, and to be able to move into the building was a great day, just an exciting time for us. But I would ask you to pray for the church, because there's a lot of young Christians in the church, as well as the church just being young in and of itself, not a lot of growth there of years as far as Christians having the growth, being in a fundamental church that preaches the Bible. And so pray for them that they would grow. When we left, we knew that winter was coming on, and so we bought a lot of wood. We have a wood-burning stove in our church. And this year was the coldest winter since 1929. Temperatures got down to minus 25, minus 29. It's not as bad as Siberia. When I heard that prayer request tonight for them when it's minus 49 tonight, I thought, thank God we only have minus 29 in Ukraine. Praise God, it's gravy train, man. We're cake right there, only minus 29. But we bought some wood, and we had a wood-burning stove. We don't have gas on the street there, natural gas, to have a furnace. And so we had this wood-burning stove. And I told the men in our church, I said, now listen, there's a special way to use this wood-burning stove. It's a convection system that brings the cold air in from the bottom, and it blows out the hot air at the top, and you got to put the wood in there. And there's a damper, a flue on it that you've got to regulate. There are 2 of them. And so you've got to be good at what you're doing or else the smoke comes back in. And they told me, like most people do, oh, we know what we're doing, man. We live in the village. I said, yeah, I thought the same thing until we had the building filled with smoke. And you don't want to, oh, man, we've got it, preacher, don't worry about it. So we came back to the States for this furlough. And I called back the first Sunday. Brother Angie, you know what they said? They said, we had a great service. The message was great. We could hear the preacher, but we couldn't see him. And when that guy said that, I knew exactly what happened. I said, you didn't open the damper, the top one, did you? He said, no, the building filled with the smoke. It was like the Shekinah glory of God came down and we had a service. I said, yeah, you should have listened to what I was telling you. But they're working with that, and I appreciate the men that are faithful there in our absence that are doing the work there. And pray for the church that God would continue to use us in that ministry. Our visas were denied this time. 15 years being there, always been able to get a visa, a new visa. And September 10th, a new law was passed, and all the visas given before that date were then made void, and you had to reapply for a visa. In the last 2 years, we have gone 5 times to Poland. I'm getting sick of going to Poland. I said, God, you called me to Ukraine. I want to just stay right here. But we were going to get new visas, and we would pay for a new visa and come back into the country, and they would tell us that visa is no good. You got to go back again. And finally, they said, your visas are all void, and so you've got to leave for 90 days. You've got to leave the country, because we had come in on a 90-day permit as a tourist to come back in the country while they were working out this new law. And so we came out, and we're right now in the process of getting new visas that will allow us to stay in the country on a residency basis, where we'll have a permanent residency. And pray with us that that would come through. We had a complication, and a complication just because somebody was slothful in business. And I think when you do the Lord's work, you need to be prompt about it. And there was a man that wasn't sending the paper. And this afternoon, I'd been praying about it and praying that this guy would come through. And I got a phone call today that the paper was faxed, and so it's there, and praise the Lord for that. That's a tremendous answer to prayer, because we had been waiting 3 weeks for this one fax to come in, and just today I got a phone call saying, hey, the fax is there, and so praise the Lord. Pray that our visas will come in. March 14th, we're planning on getting on a plane and flying back to Ukraine, and if everything comes in, we already have our tickets. We just need the visas now, and so do pray with us about that, that God would bless and take care of that need. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. It is good to be here in Verbenay. We were coming up here just to be able to see Caleb and Emily and David and Joshua and Cherith, and we were excited about seeing them. This furlough has allowed us to meet 5 new members of our family. Babies being born, and it's exciting when you come home on furlough and new introductions in the family, new family members, and we were excited about meeting them. And then when Brother Angel called and said, I hear you're going to be in town, I'd like you to preach, I started to say, no, I don't want to. I like preaching, but man, we were wanting to hear Brother Angel preach. And that's what we were doing, going to sneak in and hear Brother Angel. And so I got off the phone. We were driving, came through Illinois, and I got off the phone, and they said, who was that? And I said, Brother Angel. And they said, are you preaching tomorrow night? And I said, yeah, he asked me to preach. And the kid said, oh, man. And I watched him. I thought my wife was going to say that too, but she kept her mouth quiet. So I'd have made her walk if she had said that. But Brother Angel, we do appreciate you, and we always listen to you on the internet. We enjoy the messages you preach. You've been a blessing to us over the years, and Faith Baptist Church is a special place for us, and we just thank you folks so much for being faithful to the Lord and to the Lord's work over the years. Matthew chapter number 5, if you would. I promise I won't be long tonight, but if you found it, you found your place in the Bible, this is the Sermon on the Mount. This is where Jesus gave out many of the new commandments, if you will, things about the Christian life, what we're supposed to do as Christians. And you and I, as born-again children of God, we need to realize that there are some requirements that God lays down and says, you need to be faithful. These are things that you need to do. Look at chapter 5 and verse number 41. And if you would just stand out of respect for the Word of God, we'll read one verse here, and then we'll flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and read 4 verses there. And then we'll look at what God has for us. Verse number 41, the Bible says, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. It's a very familiar verse to all of us. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. If you will, flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. This is the grace-giving chapter. This is the chapter that the Apostle Paul laid out about the churches of Macedonia. Those who were faithful in giving to his ministry and his calling upon his life, and how God had used them to meet needs in his ministry. And the Bible says here in chapter 8, in verse number 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And verse number 5, and this they did, not as we hoped. That's the key phrase tonight. Not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Notice that it says they first gave their own selves, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. I want to preach tonight a message that God showed me once about missions and missions giving, and that is the second mile really comes first. If you and I can ever realize that the second mile is actually the first mile, we talk about being a second mile Christian, but it really is the first thing that we ought to do. They gave themselves first to the Lord. And so what they did as a second mile was actually the first mile. And God wants us to be second mile Christians, but He wants us to do it first. The second mile, it really comes first. Would you pray with me and for me that God would speak to our hearts? Lord, we thank You so much for the opportunity to be here tonight. And we thank You for this church. And God, we thank You for the churches of Macedonia and churches in America that are like the churches of Macedonia, that are liberal in their giving and faithful in their giving and praying. And God, I pray that You'll bless us, and I pray that You'll help us to have the right spirit as missions conference is coming up. God, I believe You want to do a work in hearts and lives of Your people in this church and other churches around America. God, I pray that You'll help each one of us to have a vision of the lost souls that are dying. And as the song was sung, Lord, help us not to say, don't send me, but help us to say, here am I, send me. And Lord, I pray You'll speak to our hearts now. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, be seated. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 41, when Jesus was teaching this lesson on the Sermon on the Mount, the Bible says that He said, if whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Now we know that, and in our culture and in our society, we use that many times. Even unsaved people will say he's a second miler, or he's one that'll go the extra mile. I've heard that many times. I remember growing up, my dad always said you ought to go the extra mile. Not just do what is expected of you, but you ought to do even more. And preachers say that many times, and we talk about that. Every employer wants employees that'll be a second mile Christian, or to be in a second mile employee. Every pastor wants people that'll be a second miler, somebody that'll go above and beyond and not just find the bare minimum, but they'll go above and beyond and try to do what is more than expected and what needs to be done. But I believe as a child of God, you ought to realize that God wants us to be second mile Christians. God's looking for people that'll say, not just what is expected of me, but I'm going to do above and beyond. I want to volunteer. I want to be a volunteer in the service of Jesus. That's what Isaiah said when he said, here am I, send me. He wasn't just looking for the basics and what could get by as a prophet, a man of God, but he said, I want to do something great for God, and here am I, send me. You see, God still wants second milers. I'm so glad that there's some people in our church in Ukraine that have got a hold of this principle, and they say, I'll be a second miler. Even when it's cold, I'll come to church. And even though there's just hard wooden benches and it's cold in the building, I'll still come to church, and I'll do it with a smile on my face and joy in my heart, and I'll serve the Lord, and I'll go out soul winning, and I'll do what's expected, but I'll do above and beyond that. I'll do it with joy, and I'll do it with gratitude in my heart for what God did in my life. You see, you and I need to be second mile Christians, and especially when it comes to the area of missions. Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians, and he says this church was a second mile church, but they did it first. The second mile actually came first. I began thinking about Jesus as He said that if anybody compels you to go a mile, go with him twain. And what He was saying, and you know that the Roman soldiers had a law that was in play and in practice already, that they could compel anybody to carry their load 1 mile, 1,000 paces. They could say, you need to carry this burden, no matter what the person was doing. If the person was busy, they still had to go along because they were in subjection. The Jewish citizen had to submit himself to this Roman soldier, and he had to say, yes, sir, I will. And he had to carry that load or that burden or that pack upon his back, and he had to do it because he was obligated by law. Now, nothing required him to have a smile on his face. There was not anything that required him to rejoice and to even carry on a conversation with the man as he was walking. He just had to do it out of duty. He just had to say, I'm doing this because the law requires it. And what Jesus said is what you ought to do is you ought to take that and you ought to do the second mile just as well. You ought to say before you start, even before you start the first mile, and you take the first step of 1,000 steps or 1,000 paces, you ought to say, I'm going to go 2,000, I'm going to go 3,000, I'll do as many as you need because I'm a second mile Christian. I'm somebody that wants to serve Jesus. And Paul said that when he was writing to these churches and in Corinth, he was writing about the churches in Macedonia, and he said, listen, these people got it. They got the principle, and they did not just as we hoped. If we could tonight just take some modern terminology that we have when it looks at missions conferences and we talk about giving to missionaries. And as a missionary, I can say like Paul would, this is what I hope a church would do. When a mission conference takes place, sometimes a missionary says, I hope people at least stop by my display table and they'll at least look at it. I mean, that's a first mile. I'm kind of compelling you to do that. If you would just stop by and look at some of the objects and look at some of the pictures and maybe ask some questions, that's a first mile. That's what I would like you to do. And maybe if you would pick up a prayer card and promise to pray for me, that would be great. And then if you could not fall asleep while the slide presentation was going on. I mean, if you would at least keep your eyes open, this is what we're hoping that you would do. See, Paul was writing and he said, this is what I was hoping. When I went to these Macedonian churches, he said, here's what, as a missionary, if you could kind of do these things and you could be involved and show some interest in our ministry, I'd be grateful for that. That is first mile. That's what I'm expecting you to do, and I'm kind of not forcing you, but I'm asking you to do that because there's a need and I'm compelling you to do it. I'm begging you to do it. I'm beseeching you. I'm asking you to get involved in the Lord's work. And then, above and beyond that, even if you would consider supporting our ministry and supporting us financially so we could go and do that, he said that's what we were hoping for. But he said, this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. What he said is they went above and beyond that. Before they walked the first mile, they were already doing the second mile. And they said, here am I, Lord, send me. They were saying when they approached this missions conference, if you will, they said, you know, God may want us to support a missionary. And God may want us to pick up a prayer card. And God may want us to watch a video. And God may want us to be faithful every night of the conference. And that we're going to do, but that's the first mile. We're ready for the second mile. Here am I, Lord. If you want me, I'll go. God, I'm putting myself on the altar. And God, if you choose to call me as a missionary, here am I, send me. The second mile really comes first. And you know, I begin to think, as a Jewish citizen would take that pack and that burden on his back, and he would begin walking with that Roman soldier, if he had already in his mind walked the second mile, the first mile came easier. If he had already made that decision in his mind that I'm going 2,000 paces, I'm going 2 miles, I've already settled it, I'm not in a hurry, I'm going to do what this man wants, and even above and beyond that, then the first mile came easy. And you know, that's where the key is to missions giving. You know, when you think about missionaries and you say, oh, once again, the pastor is going to ask about faith promise and a missionary is going to come in and talk about giving to missions and some preacher is going to preach about giving to missions. And boy, I just get so tired of that. It's the first mile and it's almost like they're compelling me to do that and I'm doing it against my will. And the reason is because you're a first miler. But if you'll ever say, Lord, if you want me to go as a missionary, I surrender all. Lord, if you want me to do something for you, here am I, Lord, send me. Myself is on the altar. And then when God says, no, I don't need a second mile out of you, I just need you to increase your faith promise. You've already walked the second mile, and the first mile comes easy. It's the same way when a lady goes in shopping and or a man gets ready to buy something or anybody is doing shopping and you settle on a price in your mind. You look at it and you say, is it worth it? And man, you contemplate, should I buy this? Man, it's not worth it. There's no way that's worth it. And then finally you make up your mind and you say, that's the price. Okay, I've decided. I'm going up to the cashier. That's what I'm willing to pay. And it rings up cheaper. Has that ever happened to you? And you've already, in your mind, you've already walked in and said, I'm willing to pay that amount for this. And they say it's $25 cheaper or it's $5 cheaper or 50 cents cheaper. And you've already walked that second mile. You're easier and you're rejoicing then in that purchase because you've already crossed that line. The same way it is with God. If you say, God, I'm yours. Everything that I have is yours, God. I'm giving it to you 100%. My life's on the altar. My ambitions are on the altar. My dreams, my goals, everything, God, is for you. Then when God says, I want you to increase your faith promise, you say, oh man, thank God for that. God's asked me just to go 1 mile. I was ready to go 2 miles. I was ready to go 3 miles. I was ready to do whatever God wanted me to do. God wants us to be second milers. God wants us in our mind to be willing to go and to do what God wants us to do. I believe God's still calling people to the mission field. I hear a lot of people say, well, the doors are closing and soon Jesus is coming back. I believe that. And I believe that there are doors that are closing today. But I still believe that God does not change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if the love of God was so great at one time that God would send His only begotten Son to a lost and dying world to save sinners, I believe that same God today loves lost, dying men and women, boys and girls. And I believe God's saying today, who shall I send? sin? Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And you and I need to say, God, I'm putting myself on the altar. I'm willing to go. God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Many times we think it's just the first mile. Oh, missions conference is about the first mile. Can I figure out how much God wants me to give this year in missions? And God may want you to do that, and God wants you to do that. But God wants all of you. God wants your heart and your desires to say, God, if it's me, Lord, if you want me to go, here I am. I'm a volunteer. I'm ready to go. You see, sometimes we put stipulations and we put down laws to God and we say, God, I'm only going 1,000, I'm only going 1,000 paces, I'm only going 1 mile for you, God. That's the limit. You saved me and you bought me with your blood and you rescued me from hell and you delivered me from sin and I'm grateful for that. But God, that's the line. And as soon as I cross that line, I'm laying the burden down. I'm not going any farther. But you and I ought to say, no, Jesus did so much for me. I'm just going to go all the way with Jesus. Whatever you put on my back, God, I'm ready to do it. And that's when it becomes a joy. This church had that. They were second milers, but they did it first. And if you and I are looking at this missions conference that you have coming up, I can't help but believe that God wants to do some great things. I can't help that God wants to challenge us. That missions conference really is a mission revival. God wants to revive us and give us a new vision and a new desire to see souls saved. And if we go into it thinking just a 1 mile mentality, we'll never get the blessings of God. We've got to go into it saying, the second mile comes first. I'm running the second mile first. I'm going all the way for God. God, I'm putting myself on the altar. You see, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your wallet, that you present your money. No, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. When you and I say, God, I am yours. Take me, use me, God, whatever you have for my life, that's what I'm willing to do. Then God has all of us and God wants all of us. You and I ought to say tonight, if God, you're so choosing to call me into the ministry, or you're calling me into missions, or you're calling me into some area of service, God, I'm willing to do it. I'll be willing, even if it's just a bus route, or even, not that that's less, but God, whatever the call is on my life, to teach a Sunday school class, to work in a nursing home, God, whatever your call is, I'm ready to do it. God, here I am, all of me. You see, God wants to call people into the ministry, but sometimes we expect that it's going to be a supernatural calling. I see some people, sometimes I talk to them and they say, how will I know that God's calling me into ministry? How will I know? Will I see a burning bush like Moses did? Am I going to see God speaking out of a burning bush telling me to take my shoes off because I'm standing on holy ground and then I'll have it settled that God wants me to serve Him? No, you'll not see a burning bush. And you're not going to hear a voice out of a burning bush. But the same God who said you're standing on holy ground is just as holy today. And He's the same God that's calling people and He wants them to serve Him. And you ought to say, God, here am I, send me. You say today, oh, will it be like Isaiah? When Isaiah saw the Lord God high and lifted up on His throne. Is that what I'm going to see? That there's going to be seraphims that have two wings across their face and two across their feet and two flying with it. And they're going to be singing, holy, holy, holy. Is that what I'm going to see? And then I'll know God wants me to be a preacher or God wants me to be a missionary. No, you're not going to see that. But the same God who called Isaiah and the same God who put that burden on Isaiah's heart to say, here am I, send me, is the same God in the form of the Holy Spirit who walks the aisles of this church every time the preacher preaches and said, whom shall go for us? Whom shall I send? Who is willing to go? You and I need to realize tonight that God wants to send people. There's a lost world, 7 billion people. The majority of them have yet to hear the gospel. And if you and I sit around and we try to figure out how long is this first mile going to last? And how much does the preacher expect? And how much does that missionary hope for? And what is he trying to get out of us? We'll never get the real joy of doing what God wants us to do. God says, run the second mile first. If you'll put yourself on the altar and you'll say, God, I'm running the second mile. I'm signing up to run the 2 mile event. I'm running the second mile. Then God will show you the first mile and you'll say, that wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to. I was prepared to do even more for God. God, because I've surrendered all to you. You and I need to realize that God is still calling people. You say, oh, will it be like Saul of Tarsus? Well, I like the calling he had. He was serving himself and he thought he was serving God. There's a lot of people today that are serving themselves and their own desires and their own ambitions and what they think is pleasing to God. And God says, you're going against me. You're persecuting me. And he appeared to Saul and there was a bright light. And there was a loud voice from heaven. And I mean, Saul saw it and he said, what am I supposed to do, Lord? What wilt thou have me do? And you might not hear a voice
And you might not see a light, but can I tell you today that the same God that called Saul of Tarsus and later made him Paul, the great apostle, is the same one that's saying today, you're a chosen vessel. You're the same one today that God has His hand upon you, and God has His eyes upon you, and God wants to use you. And just to think that an almighty God who created me and He formed me has a plan, a perfect plan for my life, is overwhelming. I sometimes stop and say, can you believe it? I'll tell my wife, I'll say, can you believe we're serving God and we're able to preach the gospel in Russian to people who have never heard the gospel before? That's amazing to me that God would call me as a boy, that God would place that in my heart. And God wants to do that in everybody's life. God has a purpose for you. God has a place for you. But you'll never find the purpose of God if all you're thinking about is the 1 mile. And you're thinking, how much is the preacher wanting? And I have to be at church on Wednesday night. And then again, that man's so went in again, and then they want me to do bus meeting, and boy this, and I can't wait till I'm at step 976, and then I'm stopping. I mean, I've had enough. No, you need to say, I'm a second miler. I'm going all the way for God. I want to serve God. You see, it's not about dollars and cents. It's about dedication and commitment. It's not about how many dollars and cents does God want from you. God wants you. God wants your heart. If He has your heart and God has your mind and He has your soul and your spirit, then God knows that He has the rest of it. God wants your heart. You and I, in order to run the second mile, and in order to be a second mile Christian that does it first, there are three things we have to do. The second mile, number one, has to be done willingly. God doesn't want us to do it grudgingly or of necessity. God doesn't want us to do it with one arm twisted behind our back and somebody twisting our ear and somebody kicking us down the street. God wants us to do it willingly. The Bible says in the Old Testament that they were to bring offerings and they were to bring their gifts to the tabernacle and they were to bring it to the temple when they built the temple. And the Bible says that they were to do it with a willing heart. Somebody that gives willingly is a blessing to be around. It's a cheerful giver. You know, a cheerful giver is not somebody that's mentally deranged, somebody that's messed up in the head. I mean, they're rejoicing that they can give money. No, that's a second miler that's doing it first. That's somebody that said, hey, God owns me. God bought me with a price, and I get to be a part of the ministry of God. I'm excited about serving God. They do it willingly. You and I need to say today, am I doing everything in my life for the Lord willingly? Or am I doing it because I have to? Or somebody expects me to do it? You know, there are always those that are guilt givers. When it comes to missions, they give, and it's only out of guilt. They give because if they don't, somebody's going to say something to them, or they feel like maybe everybody else will know, and they feel guilty if they don't give. Guilt just produces resentment in your life. If you do everything just out of guilt, you're never going to have the joy of the Lord. You need to sign up and say, I'm going to be willing to do it. I mean, nobody has to ask me. Nobody has to force me to do it. I have a desire to do it. And you say, boy, that's what I want to do because God bought me. God loves me, and God has a purpose for my life. Number two, it needs to be done wholly. Not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y. God wants us to do it wholeheartedly. God wants us to do it 100%. Not just half-heartedly and not just to enough to get by, but God wants us to do it full-fledged, to get involved. God wants us to be 100%. You know, sometimes in my life I ask God, God, am I doing it 100% or am I doing just enough to get by? You know, if you ever fall into the rut, and I do at times where you're doing just out of habit and you're doing it out of a ritual almost, and you're doing it just to feel the schedule that you've got, and you're not doing it from your heart, you're not serving the Lord from your heart, you're not a second miler, you're not doing it first. You ought to say, God, help me to do it with my whole heart. Help me to serve you with my whole heart. Everything I do, every tract I give out, every time I witness, every time I pray, every time I open my Bible, God, to do it with my whole heart. And then God says, boy, that's the person I can use. That's the person right there that's got it figured out. They did the second mile first. And number three, it needs to be done worthily, as unto God. Willingly, holy, and worthily, acceptable. The Bible says that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. It is suitable. It is fit for His kingdom. You and I, when we get ready to run that second mile for God, we need to make sure we're in shape. And I'm talking about spiritual shape. I'm talking about we're willing and we're ready to say, God, I want you to come into my life and I want you to purge me. I want you to prune me. God, I want you to cleanse me. God, if there's some sin, a besetting sin that would hinder me from running the race that is set before me, both miles and going all the way for God, then God, I want you to help me lay that away, that weight aside. I want you to help me to cast that sin aside and whatever's hindering me. And God, help me to go on for you. We need to do it worthily. Sometimes we come to God and we say, God, I'm ready to serve you. And we're not fit. And we say, oh God, I want to carry that load. And God knows you're too weak spiritually to carry that burden that God wants to lay upon you. You've got to get in shape. You've got to say, God, work on my heart. God, get me in shape. It takes spiritual workout, spiritual exercise to exercise the senses that God has given you to be in spiritual shape. And then you can look and say, God, I'm looking at a 2-mile race here. I'm willing to do it. And I'm doing it wholeheartedly. And not only that, but worthily, I'm ready to do it. Whatever you want for me to do, I believe that I can do it. God, I want to do it with your power. You see, today, in many churches, there are a lot of people that gripe whenever missions conference comes around. There are a lot of people that gripe whenever stewardship conference comes around. There's a lot of people that get disgruntled when a revival meeting comes around. There are a lot of people get disgruntled when soul winning comes around. There's a lot of people don't want to get involved. And the reason is because they're just 1-milers. And if they ever get to the place where they say, 2nd mile, I'm going to be a 2nd miler, but I'm doing it first. I'm not going to worry about the 1st mile. I'm just saying, Lord, here I am. Send me. God, use me for whatever I'm putting myself on the altar. This they did first. And when they did that, then they gave graciously. And then they gave faithfully. And Paul said, above and beyond. If you still have your Bible open, look at 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 12. The Bible says in verse number 12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. If a man first, if there be first a willing mind, you and I need to say, first and foremost, I'm willing. God, here I am. Use me. Take me. Whatever it has to be in my life. You know, I said that God called us as missionaries to Ukraine. And I remember, no doubt, even when we were here on deputation, that no doubt I shared with you that many people have told us that the doors were closing. Oh, the doors are closing, and you'll not be able to have a long ministry there. And boy, the doors are closing, and communism's coming back up, and you'll never be able to get a church there. And but I knew, you know what? God's calling. And God has a little bit better perspective than man does. God's looking at it a little bit differently than we look at it. We look at it and we say, well, this president and this leader and this dictator, and there's no way it's going to stay open. And God says, I'm still on the throne, and the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And as rivers of water, God says, I can keep it open. And if God opens the door, no man can close it. And I believe that God opened the door, and I believe God's kept that door open for these years that we've been there. And I believe that God wants to keep it open, but God may allow it to close soon. I don't know that. But I know as long as it's open, that's where God wants me to be, and that's where I'm going to be, and I want to stay in the center of God's will. And you and I ought to pray, God, send more missionaries. There are countries today that are opening to the gospel, but yet there are not missionaries to go there. There are countries today where you can go as a missionary, and yet the Bible has yet to be translated into their languages. They don't have the Word of God. So even if a missionary went, he would have to work on translating the Bible to preach the gospel to them. Oh, we ought to pray, God, all of me. I'm putting it all on the altar. God, time is short. And before we sit down and think about dollars and cents and what does it take in the 1st mile, God, I'm just signing up for the 2nd mile. I'm ready, God. If you should choose to call me, here am I, send me. And when you do that, no matter who you are, if you say, I'm willing, God, then God has the 1st mile too. God's already got that figured out. You and I need to realize that God has an eternal purpose. God has an eternal plan, a will. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, in America, we've been blessed. The gospel's been preached to us. In America, we can go to churches and we have Bibles, and many of us have more than one Bible, and we've heard the gospel preached many times. But the majority of the world has yet to hear the gospel once. The majority of the world has yet to see a Bible. The majority of the world has yet to attend a Bible preaching church. And so as we sit in here tonight and we think about the grace of God and the goodness of God, we ought to rejoice and say, oh God, you've done so much for me. I'm thankful. But I think God looks at it a little bit different. He didn't save us just so we could sit. He says, hey, I was good to you. So you could be an ambassador of that. That you could go out and tell others about my goodness. The gospel's only good news if it gets there on time. The gospel's only good news if people hear about it. If they never hear about it, they'll die and go to a Christless hell in eternity without Christ. You and I have the option. We look at the miles that God puts before us and the will that He has for us. We can say, okay, I'm signing up for that 1st mile, maybe 1.5 miles, or then I'll do just this. Or we can say, Lord, here am I. The 2nd mile's first. I'm putting it all on the altar. This is what I'm doing. First and foremost, God, use me. It might mean just a witness to my neighbor. It might mean just to witness on the job. It might mean to be involved in a bus ministry or a Sunday school class, whatever it is, but God, here am I. And then God says, okay, now here's what I want to give in faith promise. Here's what I want you to do. And God, when He gets the second mile, He's automatically got the first mile. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Every head bowed, every eye closed. A simple thought. But I believe a principle that helps us serving God. If you're here tonight and you'd say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. The message wasn't about salvation, but I don't know who's here. Maybe somebody would say, Preacher, I'm not saved. I've never trusted Christ my Savior. What a tragedy to come to church and leave and not know Christ as your Savior. Is there anyone that would raise their hand and say, pray for me tonight that I could be saved, that I could know for sure that heaven's my home, and one day I'll be with Jesus in eternity. Is there anyone here that's not sure they're saved? The invitation's simple tonight. I believe God wants us to be willing. God wants us to wholeheartedly sell out to Him. And God wants us to be worthy, or He wants us to be acceptable in His sight. So one day He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, I pray You'll speak to our hearts in this invitation. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to see what You've laid before us, the race set before us. God, I pray we'd go all the way, no matter what the cost, no matter what the distance. God, we'd be willing to serve You. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.